The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Mother's Day is just around the corner, so head on over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Mother Scrubber Earth Mother Gift Pack. This lovely mom-themed gift basket is perfect for cosmic hippie goddesses everywhere. You'll get their Yo Mama Cocoa Butter Soap, Peace, Love, and Happiness Soap, and Hippie Stench Artesian Perfume Oil. Have a spa day on Mount Olympus. Only $30 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
This was not written for chiefs.
What's your reason, Chief? Of course, there is no chief. Well,
hear me. Hear this! We, the people, that which you called Eid Plebnista, was not written for the chiefs or the kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Kongs as well.
The Kongs?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
On the internet, we're the tops. Wonderful, here's the hot one.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You know, I've had a hell of a day so far, and that
I can tell.
That Star Trek clip just put a big, big old smile on my face. Smiling and laughing with my teeth showing. It is.
Yeah. What are we going to do? What is the world going to do when Shatner finally kicks off?
Don't say it. Don't. Oh, my God. It's Eeyore right off the bat.
Hello.
No, it's just what happens, happen eventually.
What happens when Shatner dies?
Oh. Hello.
That's the name of the show.
When Shatner
That's the
dies.
Name of this week's show, When Shatner Dies.
It is Thursday, April 30, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yep.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Hands down, the greatest lawyer in the universe. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link in the podcast page. Also, be sure to like our brand new Facebook page. It is Facebook.com/Bob and Jones. Thank you. Okay, so yeah, I had a really crappy day, and I'll just explain right off the top is, you know, I've been putting together these comedy sketches, these comedy skits for the show over the last couple of months. And today, I spent about 2.5 hours on one, and I thought it was a pretty clever idea. It turned out pretty funny. And then I thought, you know what, after I finished it, I said, I gotta check around. And this is something I should have done as a professional, look it up in the book. That's what we do at pros. I should have looked it up beforehand and said, you know, has this idea been done before I spent all the time producing it? And then, I waited until after I was done to look around to see if it had been done before. And I didn't see anything on YouTube. But then I DM'd my friend Rocky Mountain Mike from the Stephanie Miller Show. And I said to him, hey, listen, have you done this idea and it's blah, 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 and it's got a blah, blah, blah in there? And about 3 seconds later, he DMs me back with a link, with a SoundCloud link to an almost identical sketch that he had done 3.5 years ago. There was like, and then, you know, it's just that falling feeling. And it happened to me earlier in the week. It is a little bit inside baseball. But earlier in the week, I had written this long piece about Rand Paul and that deadly drone strike from last weekend. I was like, oh, it's pretty good. I mean, it was okay. But I was like, it's pretty good. I get almost done with it after like 3 hours of working on this thing, only to discover that the entire premise is wrong.
I've written stuff before where I realized about, you know, three quarters of the way through, like I got new information.
Yeah.
And it turned out that it really negated almost everything I was saying. Well, and I've scrapped stuff, and then I've also had to, like, I've tried to figure out a way, like, this is the crappy thing about having quota, having to write a certain amount of, put out a certain amount of content per day, per week, whatever, is that feeling where it's like, all right, you know what? I just spent 3-4 hours working on this thing. And I will be damned if I'm going to allow the facts to screw me over from putting this story out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm exaggerating here. I would never put out something that I couldn't, you know. But when something like that happens, it's like I have to suddenly regroup and try to figure out a way to save the piece. Yeah. I'm very rarely, unless, like you said, there's something where, like, the entire premise is just no. You're completely, like, you're writing about one person and it was somebody completely different who said something.
In this case, the whole premise was Rand Paul hasn't commented on this deadly drone strike. Rand Paul is supposed to be the anti-drone champion of the libertarians and the far left. And so that was the whole premise of the thing. I mean, it wasn't a very long piece, but, you know, I went through and gathered all of my quotes and my flip-flop quotes of Rand Paul and things like that. And I got to the end, and I said, you know what, let me double check. So in the process of writing it, he commented on it. So the whole thing was blown out of the water. There was just no way that I could rejigger it to become something else. It was just like, Rand Paul didn't comment. Oh, well, yeah, he kind of did.
But who told you that?
I just looked it up. I just went and just double-checked. Right, okay, right. Because when I started, he hadn't said anything. And then about, I guess, somewhere midway through me writing it, he actually stepped up and did say something about the drone strike. So there was no way to publish that.
See, if you were conservative, you could ask why it took him this long.
Well, that's true. I should have been thinking that way.
You should have said it earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wasn't that the very first thing out of Rand Paul's mouth? And why did it take him this long?
I could have done.
See, because, like, I would wear my frustration on my sleeve in a case like that. I would publish the entire thing the way I had, and then I would put an update at the bottom. And I think I actually did on a piece recently. There was something I freaking wrote last week. I remember where I said, like, I got through the entire piece, and later, thankfully, it didn't happen, like, right after I finished, but later on in the day, they went back and corrected. Salon didn't put up the kind of correction that I thought that they should have for a piece that they really screwed up.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, and somebody contacted me like maybe 4 hours later and said, oh, you know what, this is up now. And of course I'm sitting there going, well, wait, did I miss it? I hope not, because I went over it like 1,000 times. But either way, I felt like a moron, so I had to add at the very bottom, like 4 hours after I published that. Okay, they.
I see now. Everyone was saying that, you know, if I had been writing for Breitbart, I could have just published it anyway.
Right,
just as is.
Publish it, and it. But again, if you want the comedy aspect at the very bottom, then you just write, never mind.
Well,
ignore all of this.
Right. And, you know, I could have played that sketch on the show anyway and been like, I didn't know. But I'm so glad that I caught it before it actually went out, because that would have been really, really embarrassing. Especially because, I mean, Rocky Mountain Mike is one of the greatest bit writers in the history of radio bit writers. So, you know, it would have been just so obvious. Everyone would have gone, that was, because it was also on his comedy album in addition to being on I think, the Stephanie Miller Show. So, you know, there's no way I could have run that. So I'm glad, actually, at the end of the day that it was caught. So anyway, so let's get into the news this week. Obviously, the big news is Baltimore and everything that's going on there. Freddie Gray, the protests, the riots, the looting. I don't know why I said it like that. The looting. And I guess, you know what, the thing that everyone's debating now, and it's kind of a shame that the issue has taken sort of this tangent over spanking. We're now like,
oh, God.
Spanking,
yeah,
is the issue.
Yeah, wow, really, that's where we are.
And, you know, look, okay, I wrote an extensive piece about this last night for the Daily Banter. And it was kind of pegged off. I was kind of inspired to do it because there was just this knockdown dragout on the Stephanie Miller show the other day where it was just like battle royale over this thing. It was Chris Lavoie, the producer, versus Stephanie Miller and Carlos Alazraki. And that seems to be the same debate that's been happening everywhere else. Certainly the Twitter responses I was getting to the post I wrote about the Baltimore mom and smacking her son, to me, justifiably smacking him in the head. And really, let's face it, it was only three times. She only hit him in the head three times. You think by hearing the observations about it that she was just wailing away on him. And the kid's got like 5-6 inches on his mom. I mean, not like he was like a 4-year-old and she's beating him about the ear. It kind of looked the way she was hitting him reminded me of Mr. Gower hitting George Bailey in the drugstore, hitting his sore ear. Just like that open palm to the side of the head.
You were talking to a guy who couldn't remember It's a Wonderful Life if, like, you know, I haven't seen it in so long.
I make all of my references are from 1946. Thank you very much.
You're like the last decade of Johnny Carson when he would make jokes that just nobody got anymore.
Don't hit my sore ear, Mr. Gower. Don't hit my sore ear. Yeah, but I mean that was kind of the way it was. And if she had not done that, he could very likely be dead today. And I hope at some point, I think even now, in seeing some of the interviews that they've done, both Toya Graham and her son, I think he's already appreciative of the fact that she did that.
Yeah.
You know, because he's already expressing regret for having not come home right from school, which is what he was instructed to do, and then going out and parading around. The other aspect of it is the fact that he was caught. The fact that she caught him probably shocked the hell out of him.
Yeah.
You know, because he thought he was going to get away with it. Like, he's like, I'm in a disguise. I'm out here in this big crowd. How is mom ever going to find me? And so I think the paranoia.
Mom radar.
That's exactly right. I think the paranoia itself will very likely be a deterrent to keep him out of trouble in the future. Like, you know, she's got eyes and ears everywhere. I think she's got spies.
Yeah, it's like that old Eddie Murphy bit, you know? The mother knows that she throws her shoe.
Yeah, right. But it was one of those situations, like when I was raising my stepdaughter, there were some times, typical child times, especially in the younger years, 3, 4, 5 years old, when she would just go, bah! It was uncontrollable mayhem, screeching and claws and spitting and running away and running all around. And sometimes in those extreme situations, the only thing that can resolve that, and I never did it myself, but the only thing that can snap the child, shock the child back to reality in some way before things get really out of hand, is a good bop to the butt. And I think that's sort of how Toya Graham approached her son.
My dad had the finger.
My
dad, you know, as a big freaking cop, would like pull me aside and he would jam his finger into my chest.
Sort
and
like
it was
me.
Like it was like the finger of God. It was like a piston. And I'm just like, okay, yes, sir. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sort of like the Harrison Ford thinker. You find that man.
Yeah,
you find him. He had one arm. You find him.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts about that whole little tangent for this story were there's quite a few things going on. One is I was kind of turned off or unsettled is maybe a better word by white America's embrace of her, you know, as the sort of hero mom because. You know, because she's out there stopping her, you know, her thug hoodlum kid from getting away with it. And it just sort of plays into that, you know, the thing that you heard immediately from dipshits like Eric Bolling, you know, where are the parents? Where are the parents? Well, all right, here's the parent. Yeah, you go, mom. You know, so there's something about that, about white America's embrace of her that bothered me.
Well,
and then, of course, there's something about the fact that white America has this very – or white liberal America, which is really an entirely different sort of subset, has this whole thing about corporal punishment, about, you know what, you don't ever hit kids. I don't know. You know, I mean the logical side of me says, no, you don't do that. And I've never hit an RA. I wouldn't. But – You know, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe there comes a time when it's. I don't know. Maybe it's maybe there's a time when it's necessary.
Yeah, didn't Sarah Palin remark on it? I mean, that's what sort of, because I was defending her and it just Toya Graham, and then I suddenly was like, oh my God, Sarah Palin's defending her too. I feel like what the hell happened here?
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
And I just
I mean, you can't let that bother you, Jesus.
Yeah, because she wrote here. What is this on? This is on Facebook.
Is it that incredible word salad?
Yes.
It just good luck making any sense of that whatsoever.
Camtastic on Twitter sent us this. Sarah Palin posted on Facebook. She wrote, "From out of the ashes, he, capital H, reveals beauty, and I consider Toya Graham and Robert Valentine beautiful amidst the destruction, thuggish and sick actions of those whom Toya and Robert are shutting down by rising above. One must love the responsibility and justice both these Americans represented this week." Word salad, word salad, word salad. I mean, that is unbelievable.
It's like she's drunk. But she has to write this stuff when she's drunk.
Yeah. I think she just hammers it out on like a napkin or something. Just like on her cocktail napkin. It's all stained with Merlot. And she's there with just a Sharpie writing it out. And then it just invariably comes out like this.
Hey, you get back here, you pass. Kelly, side winner. And no way that nobody's going to leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm going to die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker-crocker is going to roll away, piss and gutter.
Piss and gutter. One of these days, she's just going to throw in a piss and gutter in there. It's inevitable. All right, we got a big show lined up for you. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk about a little bit more about Baltimore and some of the reaction to what's going on there. Plus, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is running for president. We have his statement lined up.
Oh, my God.
Anti-gay Republican caught sending explicit photos of himself on Grindr.
That's good stuff.
We're going to talk about that. Plus some observations of the nerd prom from last weekend. So we're going to talk about the nerd prom and the humorless White House press corps. Utterly, utterly humorless, yeah. Especially Wolf Blitzer. Going to take a quick break back right after this. Hello, Bob here to talk about Tweaked Audio. Listener Karen R. wrote to us this week about Tweaked Audio's earbuds, and here's what she had to say. Thanks for the Tweaked Audio link. Had trouble finding decent but not too expensive pods for chores and biking, so tried these. Happy! Exclamation mark. Go now to our website and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. And if you use the promo code BANDC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life, with free shipping anywhere. Again, use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at BobSeska.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yes, it is. Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening today. Okay. Moving along on the show this week. By the way, if you get a chance, make sure to use our BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com. We get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. And while you're clicking, why not sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible.com? Just click the link on the podcast page. Get two free audiobooks with your free trial. Choose from 150,000-plus bestsellers, new releases, sci-fi, romances, mysteries, classics, and more. After 30 days, you get one book each month, $14.95 a month. Cancel easily anytime. The books are yours to keep, even if you cancel. Again, use our link on the podcast page and help support the show. What's going on?
Bob Beckel is my hero.
Oh, really? The talking tomato can.
He was exactly, yes. He is a tomato can, completely. A liberal tomato can. Fox News loves them.
Yeah.
He's been out for what? He's been out since, what, February, I think? Something like
that?
Yeah. And he apparently had back surgery, but he's been gone much longer than that. No one's been talking about it. And now, apparently, he really did have back surgery. Now they're saying that he entered rehab for pain medication, which means one of two things. Either he's been in rehab for pain medication for a hell of a long time, or he got addicted to pain medication in, like, no time.
Well, that's not a shock.
He has a history of drug use, and he's made no secret about that. But, I mean, the idea that you go in and you get some kind of surgery done to you where you genuinely need, you know, oxycodone, hydrocodone, something like that. The idea that you need that and go from, hey, look, I need enough of that to get me by, to I'm taking handfuls of it, or I'm taking a hell of a lot too many and I need to go into rehab. The idea of that happening over a period of like a month is fucking insane.
Maybe it was just the end game. Maybe he was doing all kinds of other things as gateways and then he finally landed on painkillers.
I don't know. Dude, painkillers are awesome.
Yes, they are.
They are. They're the greatest things on earth.
Now, who can argue with that?
Yeah,
painkillers are spectacular. So,
they are.
And don't do drugs, kids. Thank you.
Another possible name for the show this week. Painkillers,
painkillers are spectacular.
They are. They really are.
All right. So naturally, as the news from Baltimore rolled along, the far right stepped up to blame everything on Barack Obama.
Of course.
Baltimore's Barack Obama's fault. 40 years of racial tensions in Baltimore are all Barack Obama's fault, starting when Barack Obama was 10 years old.
Right. No, it's because, you know, it's because he has inflamed the racial tensions. And he's I love that. He's done it simply by A, being black, and B, admitting that there's a problem with the way a lot of black communities are treated in this country.
That's right.
He admits reality, and he's the problem.
So let's see here. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Channel said through his gigantic teeth, I think there's a war on law enforcement in this country, and it was corroborated, if not condoned, by this administration. Fox News Channel contributor Keith Ablow.
You know what? You can stop there. Like, nothing Keith Ablow has to say matters one bit.
Yeah, he's
and
got...
In a cesspool of incredibly stupid people at Fox News, Ablow may very well be at the bottom.
Yeah. Plus, he's got the Patton Oswalt B-Fat name.
He does.
Ablow.
He does.
Quote, if you want to tear down the system, you might be taking your cues, by the way, from a president who has given the appearance that there is every justification for any level of anger at our country because we're such despicable people. So the president of the United States thinks we're all despicable people.
We are. It's part of his anti-colonial upbringing.
Matt Drudge writes on Twitter, whatever Obama has been doing for the past 7 years, it hasn't worked. Okay, Fox Business Channel host Charles V. Payne. No matter what, President Obama simply winks his eye and nods his head as if rioting and destruction are justifiable. But the worst offender in all of this was Donald Trump. Donald Trump went on a Twitter rampage.
I'm shocked by that.
Donald Trump. Meatloaf, do you think I should run for president?
Absolutely.
There it is. Donald Trump tweeted, President Obama, you have a big job to do. Go to Baltimore and bring both sides together. With proper leadership, it can be done. Do it. Right?
Absolutely.
I like that. Do it. You got to throw that in.
Just do it.
Jag off.
All right. He also tweeted, someone tweeted to him, can we drop real Donald Trump off in the middle of Baltimore so he can show Obama how it's done? And then he replied, I would fix it fast.
Absolutely.
Sure he would.
Of course. Please, by all means, try to prove that.
He's got the...
I would pay good money to see that.
Donald Trump has the magic solution to solving racial tensions, but he won't tell anybody.
Well, you know, the blacks like him. They do. He said that. He said he's got, the blacks like him. He's got no problem with the blacks.
Meatloaf, let me ask you something. Do the blacks like me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The only way he could make that sound any more racist is if he left off the plural and he just said the black. You know, the black likes me. I have no problem with the black, the Jew. Somehow nothing sounds more racist than that.
Well, the Jew. That sounds worse.
The Nigra. You know, that's just so great. It's just a singular, the Nigra.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Donald Trump has the magic bullet to solve racial tensions, but he won't tell anybody. If it's such an urgent crisis, you'd think he'd give away his strategy. He's going to wait until eventually he becomes president, which will be never, right, to reveal this magic solution to racial tensions in Baltimore and elsewhere.
He's not going to do anything.
Of course he's not going to
do
anything.
A damn thing.
So, speaking of conservatives, I was talking at the beginning of the show how I was trying to put together this sketch and everything fell through. The whole thing went to crap because it had been done before. So, and I was looking through the news and I said, oh my God, that's right. The Avengers comes out this weekend, which right. You're going to go see that tomorrow, right? Or tonight.
I'm not going to go tonight, but I'll try to go at some point. What I'll probably wind up doing, to be very honest, is I'll wait till next Monday morning.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I think we're going to go Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places are sold out already.
You know what we're going to do tomorrow night is we're going to drive to Volcano and see the liquid hot magma.
That sounds like fun.
At the Kilauea Volcano, the liquid hot magma is boiling over. So we're going to drive...
Maybe if you're lucky, the Avengers will show up and try to put it out.
So what I thought I'd do is I'd resurrect the something we discussed several months ago, which was right before CPAC, the CPAC people put together a promotional poster... promotional desktop wallpaper for all of their guest speakers, all of their conservative guest speakers. They labeled them the Conservative Avengers. That was literally the name of the poster, and they set it up like the actual Avengers poster. So I thought I put something together about that. Here it is, the Conservative Avengers. Coming this weekend, it's the Conservative Avengers, starring Ben Carson as the mysterious Dr. Token. Carson can employ his force field powers to shield far-right allies against accusations of racism, especially when he materializes on conservative talk radio shows as the host's black friend.
A lot of people who go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay.
John Bolton as the mustache rider. Don't make John Bolton angry by praising the virtues of the United Nations. You wouldn't like him when he's angry about the United Nations.
You should fire that reporter that you just had on in Colorado. That man wasn't conducting an interview. He was having an argument. That was outrageous.
Laura Ingraham as the Acid Queen. After insisting that man-made climate change is a hoax, an errant ultraviolet beam from Earth's yellow sun broke through the thick layer of atmospheric CO2 and enveloped Ingraham, mutating her bile ducts and allowing her to spit massive streams of acidic spooge capable of melting both the skin and the IQ of her enemies.
We know now that thugs are thugs.
Rick Santorum as the Slippery Slope. Using his viscous discharge, Santorum can create a slippery slope leading from any liberal position to man-on-dog sex.
If the Supreme Court gives the right of individuals the constitutional right to consensual sexual activity, then you have the right to incest, you have the right to all sorts of polygamy, you name it, you have the right to anything.
With Rand Paul as the Flash Flopper. After Rand Paul's toupee was struck by lightning, he acquired the superpower to reverse positions nearly at the speed of light, often reversing himself several times in a single millisecond.
No American should be killed by a drone on American soil without first being charged with a crime.
If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him.
And Mark Levin as the Bearded Adenoid. Using his high-pitched nasally voice, Mark Levin's supersonic screech can not only shatter your faith in the truth and empirical reality, but it can also liquefy your brain.
We regular Americans who understand the greatness of this country, who don't give a damn what Barack Obama's gonna give us. Now shut up and listen, moron. That's right, we're gonna roll you lips.
The Conservative Avengers, rated PG-13. No one with an IQ above 13 admitted.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yep, go do it. iTunes, it's easy. It's easy. It's like the easiest thing in the world to go to iTunes and subscribe for free to the show and then give us a 5-star rating and review. Really, really, really helps the show. Thank you very much in advance. All right. So moving along here, I guess we need some election music because we have a big announcement today. Bernie Sanders is running now. And we kind of saw this coming down Main Street. I mean, this has been short of one of those inevitabilities. That socialist Bernie Sanders, this will be interesting. He's running, I guess he's running as a Democrat? He's usually, he's been going around as an independent.
He's an independent.
But I guess he's going to run for the Democratic
primary.
I
like Bernie a lot. I sat and chatted with him for quite a while on a flight back from Burlington to D.C. one time. And, you know, he's a really brilliant, awesome guy. And I love a lot of his ideas.
Yeah.
I am terrified about what the potential that he has to cause havoc in the race.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, I mean, you know what? I mean, I think that if you put Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton together, you probably have like the world's greatest, Democratic Voltron. But the fact is, like you said, Bernie Sanders is not going to win.
No.
He is not going to win. Let's say it again. He is not going to win.
Yeah.
And because of that, you have to fall back on, for God's sakes, please, this should be, if you're a progressive voter, this should be your f***ing Bible until November of 2016, is Jonathan Chait's piece on Hillary Clinton, on the reason that Hillary Clinton is really your only choice. And that is because Hillary Clinton is the only person who can win against a party that is, quite frankly, made up of completely crazy people. So your choice is, you split the vote between Bernie and Hillary and allow a Republican to go in, and the amount of damage would be just seriously unbelievable.
We're going to play Bernie Sanders' announcement here, and then when we come back after the announcement, we're going to talk about why it's okay to support Bernie Sanders. There's nothing wrong with it, but maybe a caveat in there. Here's Bernie Sanders' announcement.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not necessary. Please. It's not necessary. Please. That's all, huh? to me, it's a special kick. There's no other show probably in the whole world that has such a spirit of warmth, of brotherhood. This is the only show where nobody cares who you are, what you are. They judge you as a human being, not by your religion. Am I right, mister? As a man who's not too intelligent a voice, what would you say? Because this is the spirit of brotherhood that we hope would pervade our whole society. Because it makes no difference what a person is. Like, here's a man, I don't know what he is. I don't care what he is. It's none of my business. I don't like this man.
That's not Bernie Sanders. That's Jackie Mason.
Is the greatest.
Yeah. And then later he spoke to reporters.
Navin, this is my wife, Lenore. Lenore, this is Navin. Navin, do you know why a woman of such vulgarity is married to a man like me? Because I make a very comfortable living. Now, this is the first time I'm leaving you alone on a Sunday. Moist. If anything should happen to this station, this woman would leave me like a...
He does sound like Jackie.
He sounds exactly like Jackie.
Yeah, he really does.
One of my favorite things, I like to listen to Bernie Sanders when he's on with Tom Hartman. He goes on Tom Hartman for like an hour.
Yeah.
I think it's every Friday or something like that. And he's just, man, that guy, you wind him up and just let him go. And he never stops.
Yeah, I mean, look, I respect the hell out of him. And you know what? That's something I can say about him. He is someone I genuinely respect. As a very big part of me, although I am not anywhere near as left as far left as he is, not by a f***ing long shot, and I'll admit that over and over again, but I admire him. I admire the fact that he sticks to his guns as hardcore as he does, to the point where, part of me would love to see a guy like that be president.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen, and because of that, I have to accept political reality. And what the hell do I really know about politics? But where I think it'll be a problem, where Sanders will really, really cause some trouble is if it does by some chance turn into sort of a Hillary Jeb Bush thing, because I think that a lot of people who are already kind of disillusioned with what politics are will look at that and say it's these two, the two dynasties.
Yeah, I know.
We need to break that. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what people think.
Look, that's a really good point. But I mean, I think it's fine if you want to support Bernie Sanders in the primaries. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is I think people who support Bernie Sanders would do well to kind of be realistic about it and say, you know what, I'm going to vote my conscience. I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders in the primaries. But you know what, if Hillary Clinton gets the nomination, and she, at this point at least, she probably will, then I'm going to go with the realistic choice here and understand that this is not Hillary Clinton from 2008 or even 2000 when she ran for Senate. This is Hillary Clinton 2016, and at least from the indications that she's presented recently, she's shifting towards the Elizabeth Warren wing of the party.
Well, look, I like what Mike wrote for Banter this week, where he said that maybe one of the good things is that someone like Bernie being in the race will keep Hillary's feet to the fire,
mm-hmm.
you know, to stick by the principles that a lot of people would like to see her stick by. I mean, look, again, I feel like she has to be centrist. She has to, you know, because you can't win with just the hardcore, you know, just the hardcore left. You're not going to win with that. You got to have a lot of people. You got to have a really, really good coalition of voters on board.
I mean, it's okay to pull her leftward more. I think she's already figured that out. I think she's already moving in that direction. At least some of the statements she's made recently have indicated that. I mean, she was talking about scaling back the number of people who are automatically sent to prison and things like that. I think she's hearing the left and responding to the left in a very positive way, in an unexpected way. I certainly didn't expect her to come out this left. It was kind of shocking. But I think that's going to indicate the fact and back up the fact that no matter how many memes you throw onto Twitter and Facebook, no matter how often you screech at Chez and me and whoever else on Twitter that Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton are the same person, they're just simply
they're not. They're not the same person.
And all you got to do, all we got to do as an example is just go right back to 2000. And that's just the standby analogy. 2000 was a disaster because so many people, including me, were suckered. We talked about this last week. Were suckered into that whole line from Michael Moore and Ralph Nader that Bush and Gore were the same person. And it was like being brainwashed. I got legitimately brainwashed by that meme. And even though it was completely untrue. Because empirically, if you look at their platforms in 2000, and then you look at how they proceeded through those 8 years, Al Gore becoming the champion against and continuing his crusade against climate change, the climate crisis, and George W. Bush just doing everything wrong.
Yeah,
I mean you couldn't put together two more different people. But because it was sort of this era of prosperity, and we were talking about lockboxes. So stupid. And we were analyzing size and gaffes and malaprops and all the George Bush stuff, too. I mean, that just distracted everybody. So it was like they could come in and say, you know what? I think they're the same. So why not vote for Ralph Nader? He's got a shot. He could rationally and, you know, this universe become president. No. There was no chance in hell. We got to take one last break. We're going to talk about an anti-gay Republican who actually was caught sending explicit photos on Grindr, and you're going to love this guy's name. Back right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yeah, it is. Hey.
You hit that post.
I totally did, man. Once in a while, I'm an actual DJ. Excellent DJ skills. They told him, don't you ever post-hitting skills. Don't wanna see your face, you better disappear. All right, by the way, I gotta observe. I'm gonna talk about this for a second. What's that?
You're drawing ligers. It's pretty much your favorite animal.
You got sharks and pegs.
Lucky.
Do these chickens have large talons? Kid, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Yep.
This How Old Robot website is going viral right now on Facebook.
Where you I've already put the picture up. It says I'm 61 years old.
60. There's a picture of you and your fiance Taryn. Taryn comes up accurately at 36.
36, right.
And you come up as 62.
I'm 62, right. And then there's another picture of me that says I'm 14.
14. Yeah, there's one of you in the shower, it looks like. And it says you're 14. I put mine in there.
That, by the way, in the shower, because that's a picture of my penis. That's why it says I'm 14.
your penis is 14 years old?
That's why. They're like, he's got the penis of a little kid. He's got the penis of a basically pre-adolescent.
Mine came up. I was 56. I uploaded my, I think it was my my Twitter profile pic. And it said I was 56 years old.
I had a couple of pictures that I put in there just for the hell of it, and it kept putting me in the 60s. That's nice.
Well, the picture of me was taken in Albuquerque. Maybe being in Albuquerque was aging me in some way. The dry air, the altitude, maybe I was shriveling like a prune. shriveling like your 14-year-old scrotum. All right, so this, speaking of shriveled scrotums, this guy, this anti-gay Republican, he's caught sending explicit photos of himself via Grindr. And this guy's name, I crap you not, this guy's name is Randy Boning. Randy Boning. It's probably, you know what, it's actually maybe Baining, because it's spelled sort of like John Boehner.
Right.
B-O-E-H-N-I-N-G. But man, looks like, I mean, if you're going to get caught, you know, as an anti-gay demagogue, if you're going to get caught sending explicit photos of yourself on Grindr, you better rethink that, because if your name is Randy Boning, it adds an extra layer of comedy fun. Plus, his handle was Top Man.
Well, exclamation. I guess we know where he is.
You guys like Randy Boehner. Randy Boehning. Boning.
Yeah.
Did I say right. Randy Boner? Randy
Boehner, whatever.
Boehner, whatever. Boning.
He's from Fargo. Just imagine what that's like. Oh, yeah, I'd sure love to meet you. I'll have my toucan.
Stan Grossman says it's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Grossman says your penis is really sweet.
Jerry Lundegaard was a bottom.
Jerry Lundegaard. Oh, watching the Gophers. Oh, you betcha.
So you were having sex with a gay fella. Yeah.
Was it funny looking apart from that? 21-year-old Dustin Smith informed the forum website about the photo, but Boning insists that it's somehow political payback from another member of the state legislature.
Another member.
voting against the anti-discrimination bills. Now Boning is officially out.
I would say so.
Officially out. He's literally out. Quote, that's what gay guys do on gay sites, don't they? Boning said. That's how things happen on Grindr. It's a gay chat site. It's not the first thing you do on that site. That's what we do. Exchange picks on the site. That's what we do. We're pros. We're professionals. Boning, who is not married, said there are people now who know he's gay, but many of his family members and friends do not. He said Saturday he is also attracted to women and was relieved to come out because he no longer has to worry about being outed. Now, of course, the real
all right, so
thing
that's
here
fine.
Is,
so none of there's nothing wrong with any of that.
Mm-hmm. No.
None of it.
No, none
so,
of it.
So great. So he's out and some of his friends don't know and, you know, he's relieved. That sounds like a million and one stories across this great land of ours.
Well, and it's
But when you throw into the mix the fact that he is an anti-gay demagogue. Is where it's just that's where your head explodes, like, you know, like you're f-ing Daryl Revocs inside it from Scanners.
Yeah, and it's the hypocrisy. I mean, that's the hypocrisy
why?
Is the problem.
Just why? Yeah. Why? Why the f- can't you just be you? What is it about you? What is it about your faith, your political beliefs that keep you from being who you really are? That's sad.
It really is.
That's not even that there are times that doesn't even make me angry. It just makes me sad. What is your problem? Be who the hell you are. I can't imagine going through life not being who I am.
The other thing I was thinking about as I was writing up this story for the Daily Banter earlier this week is that it's kind of wrong that he was outed before he wanted to come out, that someone outed him. And
well,
that was just sort of the
hypocrisy is the only thing that makes it an item.
Yeah, that's right.
I've written about this when it comes to like J.K. Trotter's, you know, from Gawker, his weird obsession with Shepard Smith, where he's constantly trying to out Shepard Smith. And I'm like, look, we're way past the point in our culture where somebody's sexual orientation is considered news. Like, you know, we don't titter about that anymore. Mm-hmm. The only time it might be a news item as if, again, there's hypocrisy. If it's somebody who has spent a good amount of his time, you know, trying to make public policy that keeps down gay people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he himself is gay. That's news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, sometimes if you're outing someone before they're ready to come out, I mean, that's dicey. And that it can often become a little dangerous.
Right.
Because then it alienates. I mean, the guy ends up losing his family and everything like that. I mean, it's political comeuppance for someone who's a hypocrite like Boning is. That's one thing. But I think, you know, outing him prematurely is here's my conscience coming after me for making Boning jokes for the last 5 minutes. But I think that's a valid observation. We shouldn't be outing people before they're ready to come out. But I guess in this case, the hypocrisy was thick enough that it kind of sort of justifies it.
Right.
Kind of sort of justifies us relentlessly making fun of the guy's name, Randy Boning. All right. So that's that was really funny, Randy Boning. Okay. So I wanted to get your take, Chez, on you being a cable news guy, news producer. Your take on Nerd Prom, on the White House press corps dinner. From Saturday night, because, I mean, you know some of these guys. You know Wolf Blitzer. You know the CNN guys. You know the MSNBC guys. How can they possibly go to these events every year, make it the centerpiece of the year for the White House press corps, and never effing laugh at a goddamn thing? I mean, I just was like Wolf Blitzer. You know, some great jokes. Obama's throwing out these fantastic jokes. Cecily Strong, great jokes.
The thing about Obama that was so absolutely beautiful, like nothing I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. So, no, what Ezra Klein was talking about was, and I kind of mentioned it, too, in the piece that I put up about it, was Obama wasn't joking. He wasn't joking. Nothing he said was a joke. Everything that he said was what he actually felt.
Yeah.
You know, especially the sequence with Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, where he came up there as his anger translator. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, all the things that, you know, all the things that Keegan-Michael Key was saying were things that Obama really thinks. And all of the jokes that Obama made were things that he really thinks. That's what was so beautiful about it.
Yeah.
But to answer your question about why people don't laugh, it's because, you know, they're on this sort of weird, stupid tightrope. It's like they're willing to go to these things, and that is kind of – this schmoozing is kind of a violation of their journalistic integrity, and yet they feel like, well, you know what? If we laugh too hard at this, then we're really blowing our – then we're really blowing our objectivity. And that's – you know, it's just – that's why the entire thing is a, is an issue. The entire thing is, to use a word I love very much, problematic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't peg Wolf Blitzer as being a particularly – having a strong sense of humor.
No, he's kind of a dullard. He's a nice guy. I genuinely mean that.
But I mean, it seemed as if at one point – I mean, Cecily Strong was knocking out some really great jokes there too, and they pan over to Wolf Blitzer. They cut over to Wolf Blitzer, and it was like he just had the servo rods in his face calibrated, and he couldn't properly move them. It was just like just crickets coming from the entire
also,
room.
I mean, they're also very, you know, they're very worried that they're being skewered. You know, TV news people take their job so fucking seriously. I mean, a lot of them do. Yeah. There were people like me who sincerely never took my job seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I knew that what I was doing was important, but I was never... I never thought that what we were doing was capital J journalism that was changing the world. There were very few stories I did where I was like, I'm doing something worthwhile here. I'm doing something genuinely important. You know, covering I will separate out in this little example, I'll separate out the people who go overseas, who get shot at. Those people are doing important things.
Yeah.
The guys who sit reading news on the air, not really most of the time. You know, producers – not always, sometimes, but, you know, I mean, aside from working hurricanes and working 9/11, you know, as I have said many times, the summer of 2001, never forget that just before 9/11 changed everybody's, you know, everybody's point of view and all of news went off in that direction. Yeah. The entire summer had been spent by all of the cable channels trying to convince people that they were about to be eaten by sharks.
Yeah, it was shark attacks and Gary Condit.
Yeah, you're right. It was Gary Condit, and it was the summer of the shark.
I bet if you asked around, just ask random people who Gary Condit was, no one would know. No one would know. And it was like the second biggest suit.
Obsessed with that.
Obsessed
all
with
of the summer of did, 2001.
Did you notice at the beginning of Obama's presentation at the White House press corps dinner that there was a montage that included a headline that said, Obama doesn't have any F's left to give.
What do you mean?
There was a mock headline in this opening video montage saying that Obama doesn't have any more F's to give. And I thought,
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, it was. And I thought immediately, because I think you coined that headline on the Daily Banter.
Oh, I mean, I think I that's not a difficult thing to say. It's not that original, but yeah, I think I was one of the first to say it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, when I've said that when he trolled when he trolled everyone with the picture of the tan suit.
That's right.
And yeah, I think he's done.
I mean, it may be coincidental. I mean, it could be, but I thought, I think Chez wrote that. I think they're referencing Chez's headline.
That would be nice.
Anyway, so programming note for the after party on Friday. After party is going to be up a little bit late because we got a late start recording the free show. So we're going to wait and we're going to record the after party first thing Friday morning and get it out to you as quickly as possible. So it won't be precisely at noon tomorrow, but you can expect it sometime around mid-afternoon or so. Shouldn't be that late. By the way, if you're not signed up for the after party, go to bobsesco.com. Click the link for join the after party. The after party in the drop-down menu below the logo. And you sign up. It's $6 a month. You can cancel anytime you want. And you'll love it. This week we're doing, it's the April edition of Chess's New Music Countdown.
Yay.
That'll be the big tent post this week's after party. Or you can buy individual episodes on our Bandcamp page. That's bobandchez.bandcamp.com. It's $2 a pop. Right? If you don't want to sign up or commit to the monthly subscription, then you can just go to Bandcamp and buy individual episodes for $2 a piece. Oh, by the way, if you want to sign up for a great subscription-only podcast, sign up for the Stephanie Miller Show Happy Hour. I listened to the John Fugelsang episode from March. It is un-effing believable. We got to incorporate more alcohol into our subscription-only show. We got to do that because it works. Hey, see you on Monday with another mini show. Have a good weekend, folks. Bye-bye.